Anyway, hey, will you pray with me before we get started in our Bible study? Yeah? All right. Lord, we just thank you. We love you. We praise you. And Lord, so grateful for this church body, for you. You do mighty things, Lord, in the life of a believer. And Lord, you desire to use each and every one of us here and in specific ways. Not every life looks the same. Not every calling looks the same. Not every ministry looks the same, Lord. But it's one body, as your word says. And Lord, I thank you that this church here is a church that loves you, that the word of God is vital, Lord. It is foundational in the life of your church here in Estacada. And that, Lord, is so evident that you're moving, that your Holy Spirit has been poured upon this place and you're continuing to pour your Spirit on the lives of your children here. And Lord, I know you want to do so much. You have plans for this church, without a doubt. And I'm excited to see them, Lord. I'm excited to see what's coming. And so we just trust you and we love you and we praise you. And it is in your name, my Lord Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Okay, if you would, open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 with me. Hebrews chapter 11. It's been turned more into a series in this chapter. But it's such a blessing and it's always timely. You know, it's always timely. God's Word knows what we need when we need it. He knows, the Spirit of God. And, you know, it's not like you plan things, right? There's no way, but God has a way of setting everything together and the perfect timing for members of the body and speaking those things in our lives. Speaking of that, we'll get into our study, guys, I promise. This came to mind. Once again, Wednesdays, if the Lord is moving in your heart, please don't feel compelled unless the Lord is compelling you. Then, hey, by all means, you'll be disobedient if you don't. But if that is something that the Lord lays in your heart, we're going to move that direction. If not, we believe that God just moves us and directs us. So if that's not the case, we'll be heading a different direction on Wednesdays for summer. But be praying with me, because I believe that the Lord wants to do something this summer in regards to that and get us outside these walls. That we need to be those that go out into the body and that he wants to touch the hearts of other individuals, other people, people that don't know him, people that need encouragement. And he uses the body to do that. So I don't know exactly. I know he's laid some things in my heart. So I'm just waiting. And we're going to move in faith. Amen? All right. We're getting into our study now. Let's back up to chapter 11, verse 30, so we can get the flow of the text where we're at. And if you would, just forgive me. I have issues with my eyes. Sometimes the glasses work, sometimes they don't. So as well, verse 30 says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samson and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again." And here's this other group that we're going to be focusing on today. Others. The others is the ones we're going to be focusing on. It says, "Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance." And that's important. That should be highlighted, underlined. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. "Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom, oh, and I love this, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in desert and mountain and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. If you would follow along with me on your Bibles, but right now I'm going to go ahead and just go back and review a little bit of what we went over last week. Because there's three separations here in this last portion of Scripture. There were those that by faith they conquered. They subdued kingdoms. There were those that by faith, listen, they say, no, we choose not to be delivered here on earth, but rather be delivered onto heaven. And there was these other ones as well. Others had trials of mockings and scourgings, and also they were put to death. So we see three groups of people in this last section of chapter 11 of Hebrews. And by way of reminder, in our last study, the author gave us Old Testament examples of heroes of the faith that through faith, as I said earlier, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, and obtained promises. But truth be told, that as we went over their lives, because the author says, hey, listen, time would not allow for me to expound on that, but we did, right? We went over some of these individuals, and truth be told, we probably wouldn't have used some of these men as examples of faith. Because we look at all their mishaps. We look at all their sins and all these different individuals that really, they were fearful, insecure. They had little faith and at times disobedience to God's word. But listen, this is what's important. In the end, they moved with the little faith and obedience they possessed. And that's all that God asked of them. It's all that God asked of them. And so these individuals, as we look back, we see a lot of faults in their lives. But here's the thing. I love this about the Bible, that the Bible says that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of our sins. The Bible also says that he's taking our sins as far and throws them as far as the east is from the west. And he'll remember them no more. And so when we look at these individuals, God brings them in the light as men and women of faith. And I love that about the Lord, that he sees you and me, and he says, that child, her right there, or him right there, and sees all your goodness, sees your works, your labors of love, everything in your life that pleases him, because he sees the goodness in us. And I love that great bar of soap that all we have to do is confess, repent, and turn to Jesus. And we're cleansed. We're cleansed. I love that about our Lord, his grace and his mercy. He is so merciful. And so these guys, we probably would not have chosen. But listen, truth be told, I wouldn't have chosen me to be up here. Some of you may say, amen. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. But that's what God does. And I think that is the point, that he wants us to move with the little faith and obedience that we have. Move forward in serving him. In Matthew 17:19, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him why they could not cure a demon-possessed boy. And Jesus responded to them in the following way. He said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Now, in Luke chapter 17, you can turn there if you like. If not, it's probably going to be up in the screen. In this section of Scripture, Jesus is teaching his disciples on the dangers of offenses and the importance of forgiveness. And he gives just an impossible command, if you would, for some. At least the disciples thought so. The apostles thought so. And in verse 3, in chapter 17, verse 3 of Luke, he says, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day return to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, notice how the apostles respond to the seemingly impossible command. He says, seven times, if they come back to you, he says, you shall forgive them. Not maybe, not possibly. He says, this is what you will do. Notice how they respond in verse 5 of Luke. They say, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Lord, we need more faith in order to be able to forgive like that. Lord, increase our faith, because this is what you're asking of me. It's too much. I can't do it. And so the Lord says in verse 6 of that chapter, he says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. In other words, listen, in other words, you don't need more faith. You just need to exercise the little faith that you do have. Now you can turn back to Hebrews 11:33 with me, if you followed along there. And so that's the point, right? That's the point, that God says, you have a measure of faith. Listen, and you have also the ability to obey. And God meets us where we're at. And coming back to Hebrews 11, verse 33, all these men lacked in many areas, as we all do. And God uses the little faith and obedience that they had and grew them when they moved in obedience with the little faith they possessed. God met them and gave them the victory. And so God's word says in Hebrews 11:33 that through faith, they subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again. Through faith, God closed the mouth of lions when Nebuchadnezzar threw Daniel in the lion's den. In chapter 6, you remember that, Daniel chapter 6. Through faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not deny God, but rather chose to be thrown in the fiery furnace, and Jesus delivered them from the fire. And don't you love the fact that the only thing that was burned was that which bounded them, and that Jesus was right in the middle of the fire walking with them? And as I pointed out last week, Peter, when he saw Jesus walking in the Sea of Galilee, and they were in the middle of the storm, he called out to Jesus and said, Lord, if it's you, call me out, and I will come to you. And in faith, he walked out, and he walked on water for just a second or two, and then he sunk, right? And Jesus grabbed him, put him back in the boat. He walked on water, but these men walked through fire by faith. And Jesus was there with them. And just an application for us here as believers, there's times that we feel like we're in the furnace. There's times in our lives that we're going through so many difficulties. We may be going through difficulties with our relationships, whether it's our marriage, whether it's just whatever it may be. Those people that we love, it may be health issues. I mean, you name it. The Spirit of God knows what it is that you're going through. There's those times that we're just, boy, we feel, Lord, it is hot in here. We are going through such a difficult time. But just know that just as Jesus was with these young men, he's with us as well. And he's walking with us through these difficulties. And he never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. He's always there. I love that. Well, that's where we left off last week. In the second part of verse 34, so take a look at that with me. It says, By faith, they escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle. And we know that through faith, David escaped the edge of the sword many times, many times. We see, we can go back and example after example after example that God delivered people, people that are not named here, but by faith they were delivered by the Lord. And through faith, God makes the weak strong. Don't you love that? Because there's times, boy, that we just feel, Lord, I just can't do it. And God, through his power, through his grace, is able to change an individual and make him the individual that he wants, the individual that he wants to use, that he will use. I love the fact that God is into changing lives. He will turn a criminal into a righteous person. He will exchange a person's rage for love. And he makes the weak strong. God transforms lives. And listen, and sometimes he also makes those who are strong in their flesh weak in order to make them spiritually strong. There are those that they may be they may feel strong physically or just in life, that they're just in a good place, and that is hindering them from following the Lord. And there's times that the Lord says, I'm going to bring you down a notch from that place so that you may know that you need me. And it is in his grace that he does that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul experiences something like this. Now, if you recall that Paul, his name was Saul, and that means desired. And if you think of King Saul in the Old Testament, he was head and shoulders above the rest. Desired. It's a good name, right? But God changed his name to Paul, which means small or little, because God wanted to use him. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations. Now, earlier on, Paul says, listen, I know a man, whether in the spirit or whether it was physically, I don't know, but he was taken up to heaven. And he talks about this incredible things. He says he heard and saw things just too incredible to even mention. So he has this incredible revelation. And here he goes on and says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning these things, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities. Can we say that? I take pleasures in infirmities? That's something difficult, right? Taking pleasures in infirmities. Paul says that he did. He said he took pleasures in infirmities. Why? Well, it says that, sorry, I lost my place here. Coming back. He says, for when I'm weak, I am strong. I'm sorry. He says, therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul understood it very clearly. He understood that there are those times that we are so weak that we're no longer relying on ourselves. When we're strong, we're relying on ourselves. And Paul says, I'm no longer relying on myself, but I'm relying on the strength of God. Which one's better, guys? Relying on myself or relying on God Almighty? God shows up and he does incredible things. And in 1 Corinthians 27, Paul also says, the Bible also says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, he chooses the are nots to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh, and this is the reason, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So nobody can say, I did it because I am so and so. But they say, I did it because of Jesus. And so men like Moses, Gideon, and Barak, out of weakness, were made strong because God's strength was made perfect in their weakness. And through faith, Gideon was made strong. Through faith, Barak became valiant in battle. Through faith, Jonathan and his armor bearer climbed up on their hands and knees to get to the Philistines. And they turned the Philistines' army to flight. And by the way, guys, that's where we're victorious. When we're on our hands and knees before the Lord in battle, that's where the battle is won. When we seek the Lord in our hands and knees, there's a reality in our lives when we understand the dependency that we have on Him. We have to come to that place to say, look, I can't do it. Lord, I need you. And whatever it is that we're going through, we need to seek the Lord in our hands and knees, because that is where the battle is won. That is where Jonathan and his armor bearer won the battle. Do you remember that story? Just by way of reminder, here's Jonathan, and there's an issue, right? Here's the Philistines. They're always fighting back and forth, and in this case, they're winning. They have taken more land over, and Jonathan looks up, and he sees these Philistines, and he tells his armor bearers, hey, what's to stop God to save by many or by few? That's a great attitude to have, by the way. God will do a lot with one individual, two individual, or with many. And he says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and call out to them. We're going to make ourselves known. And if they say, wait down there, and we're going to come to you, we know that the Lord's not with us. But if they say, come on up here, we know that God has delivered them into our hands. Think about that. Is it easier to fight when they come down on level ground? Is that easier? Is that harder? Or is it harder to go up this hill where they had to climb on their hands and knees in order to get to them? They chose the hard thing to say, God is in it. And when God said that, they went up there, and you know the story. They were victorious because God gave them the battle. And I love that. God delights in turning the weak into the strong. By the way, I was reminded earlier this week of this book called The Harvest by Chuck Smith. Maybe some of you are familiar with that book. It's such a great book. It's one of the first books I ever read when I came to know the Lord. And I highly recommend that book. It is the story, true stories of men who were weak, foolish, lost, and despised by the world, that Jesus says, you may be despised of the world, but I'm going to use you. Men that God is still using today. It's an incredible book. It's true. True stories of individuals that were drug addicts, that were gone in the head. Literally, they were done in the head, that the doctors had gave them up, and God restored them. So when you get an opportunity, take a look at that book, and it really is the story of the men that God used in the Calvary Chapel movement, and he's still using. And last, verse 35, as we get back into the text, the Bible says, and women received their dead raised to life again. Through faith, Elijah raised the widow's son from the dead. And you may remember that from 1 Kings 17, that this widow is in Zarephath. And here's Elijah. And through faith, he gives back this widow's son. But then, through faith, Elisha raised the Shunammite woman's son from the dead. Through faith. I love these pictures in the Old Testament of the resurrection. Now, in James 5:17, why don't you turn there with me, if you don't mind. James 5:17. Very familiar portion of Scripture. James sort of puts it all together for us in regards to these men of the Old Testament and us, and just in comparison to us. And he's speaking of Elijah. In 5:17, he says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. Did you catch that? What did he do? He prayed earnestly. Let that simmer, that word. He prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. Listen, Elijah had a nature like ours. He was flesh and blood with a sinful nature like us, who, like us, was saved by grace through faith. And God used this man. God uses imperfect people because that's all that there is in this world. But he doesn't leave us that way. He doesn't leave us that way. In the process, he molds us and shapes us. He cleanses us, grows us, and uses us. And God will use men and women of faith. God will use you and me if you're willing. If you're willing. And so, to summarize this section that we're in before we move into the next one here. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Rahab was saved. Gideon was made strong. Barak became valiant. Samson defeated the enemy. Jephthah saved Israel. David defeated Goliath. Samuel restored a backsliding nation. All these saints were victorious through faith. They were delivered from death and were victorious here on earth. But there's the other group of people that we just read of a little earlier, a group who were not delivered from the sword, a group whose faith cost them their lives, saints who suffered and died to do the will of God, saints who said, we will not accept deliverance here on earth. We'd rather be delivered on to heaven. Listen, that is a special kind of faith. Take a look at the following verse with me. The second portion of that verse, it says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They refused to be delivered, in other words, that they might obtain a better resurrection. It takes faith to press on in trials and difficulties. It takes faith to fulfill God's calling in our lives. It takes faith to be victorious like these other men that conquered, subdued kingdoms. It takes faith, but it takes a special kind of faith to endure this type of suffering in order to do the will of God. It takes faith. And that's what these saints did, the ones we're about to read about. They not only glorified God in their life, but they glorified him in their death because they had an eternal perspective. Listen, they had an eternal perspective. When our minds and our hearts are set upon heaven, they're set upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, understanding what this author has been talking about the whole time, that we have the true tabernacle is in heaven. Heaven awaits. When we have our minds and our hearts understanding that the Christian, we're heaven bound, God will do a lot through us. A lot will be accomplished because we're no longer looking at the temporal things of this world. We're looking at the eternal things, the things that matter. I love this, that these men, they didn't pray for deliverance, but for strength to endure. They wanted a better resurrection. They did not accept deliverance here on earth, implying what? That they could have been delivered, but rather chose to be delivered onto heaven. And that is amazing. And although this refers to the Old Testament saints, we know that that's not just the case. There are countless people throughout history, also in the Old Testament, numerous examples, others that have not been written down in the Word of God, but throughout history, throughout the last 2,000 years, and even now, men and women of faith that they said, you know what? We will not deny our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do what you must, but we will not deny our Savior. I remember, you may remember this, years back when ISIS, when they were just doing this atrocious things, We don't even have to look that far back, just what happened with Israel. But I remember that they had video after video in the news or in social media of Christians that they did not deny their faith. And they went down the line beheading them. That's our brothers and our sisters. Those are men and women that said, you know what? We believe what we preach. We believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe that there's a better resurrection. We believe that heaven awaits, and we will not deny our Savior. An amazing thing. Well, verse 36 says, still others had trial of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains. This is another group, right? And imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. By the way, church tradition tells us that King Manasseh sawed Isaiah in two. And you think about this, it's like Isaiah being sewn in two. How horrific is that? And once again, this wicked king, and it always baffles me to think about Manasseh, because Jeremiah it says that because of the sins of Manasseh, they were going to be taken into captivity. That was one of the major things. There are a number of things that are pointed out. But you know what's incredible? Do you know who his father was? Hezekiah, one of the best kings that Judah had. He tore down the idols. He torn down all these things. He reestablished the worship of God. I mean, just an incredible king. How does someone who has such a godly father, who sold out to the Lord, turn around and become such a wicked king that sets up idols again in the temple of God, goes and murders and plunders and does all these things? Sows God's prophet in two. You know how that happens is a person that turns away from the Lord. That's how that happens. But here's the thing, I mentioned this before, that you know that Manasseh repented. Even with all his wickedness, he was taken captive. But while he was in captivity, the Bible says that he entreated the Lord. In other words, he called out to the Lord, and the Lord responded and brought him back. In other words, God forgave him and restored him. That's the grace of God. That is the love of God in the life of an individual. And I cannot imagine how God can do that, but I'm glad he does it for me and he does it for you. And so, sown in two, and others, it says, were tempted. Isn't that interesting? The temptation is thrown in here. That's a real thing. And now, I believe in context, and you can, you know, it's not totally clear, but I believe in context, they were probably tempted to deny the Lord. I mean, Daniel and his friends, they said, hey, listen, come and eat the king's delicacy. Come become part of us. And they said, no way. Jose, we're not doing that. Probably said, no way, Nebi, right? Not Jose. Nebuchadnezzar. They stood on God's word, and they did not turn on the Lord. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. People that were beheaded. And we can look into the New Testament, right? James was the first one to be beheaded. And notice this, the second part. It says, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Church, they had nothing to their name. Nothing. They wandered about. But you know what they did have? Jesus. And he was enough. And he says, being destitute and afflicted and tormented. And then, oh man, verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert, in the mountains, in the dens, in the caves of the earth. I love God's assessment, God's commentary on these saints. He says that the same individuals that the world mocked, they beat, they imprisoned, they afflicted, they tormented, they rejected, God says that the world was not worthy of these people. And that's the only assessment that really matters, doesn't it? God's assessment of you and me. And as we contrast those saints who through faith subdued kingdoms, stopped the mouths of lions, escaped the edge of the swords, versus those who were martyred for their faith and were delivered, not here on earth, but onto heaven, I believe that we can find comfort in these verses. Because there's a direct correlation with us and things that we go through. Sometimes we wonder why God heals some and not others. Why he delivers some and not others. And I believe that God heals and delivers all his saints. Not just some. He heals and he delivers all his saints. Some fall under the first group that we just read about. God miraculously heals them, and others he chooses to heal in heaven. They're delivered onto heaven. Some he physically delivers them here on earth, and still others he says, no, for you, you'll be delivered in heaven. There's some that, and maybe this has been you, maybe you have witnessed this. I know I certainly have individuals that have gone through such difficulties, whether it was cancer that they were dying from, whatever it may be, and they just stood strong in the word of God, and they suffered well for Christ. They were a witness, and they had a good testimony. And listen, great reward awaited them in heaven. Great reward. God knows who, and God knows why. We don't understand a lot of these things, but God does, because he sees it from a heavenly perspective. He sees the full picture, and he knows you and me a whole lot better than we can know one another. And here's the thing, that our faith in Jesus Christ is sufficient for both. We have some magazines in the foyer. I don't know if you may have seen them, The Voice of the Martyrs. There's a few here. There's a lot over there. Hey, when you get a minute, grab one of those. Take it home. Read it. It will encourage you. Well, the author sums all these heroes up of faith with the same words that he started with in verse 2. You remember how he started off the Hall of Faith. He gave the definition of what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he goes on and says that by faith, he says, for by this faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. And then he goes on and tells us, he goes on, starts at the very beginning with Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And he goes on and on and on. He lays all this out for us, and he brings us right back to the very beginning. And notice what verse 39 says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Listen, God was waiting for us. These Old Testament saints modeled for us the walk of faith and obtained a good testimony that is recorded for all of eternity. And they based their faith on God's future promise. Listen, their faith was based on God's future promise of a Redeemer, of a Savior, of Jesus Christ. So they were looking into the future. We not only have the basis for our faith, God's future promise, but God's fulfilled promise in Jesus Christ. We get the benefit of looking back to Jesus, the finished work at the cross, that we have been redeemed, we have been saved, our sins have been forgiven, and that we're born again. And you may be here today and maybe going through some serious problems, difficulties, issues, things that seem impossible. I want to encourage you. God is with you. He has not abandoned you. Exercise whatever little faith and obedience you have left, and God will meet you there. Stay the course. Keep the faith. Keep pressing on. God has not forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten us. He is walking with us all along the way. God is working. And we may not be able to see it in certain times in our lives, but he is working, and we will see it eventually by faith. Amen? Can I have the worship team coming up and the ushers coming up? We're going to have communion this morning. And as the worship team leads us into a worship song while the ushers pass out the elements. Please hold on to the elements, by the way, so we can take communion together. I just want to say, use this time to go before the Lord. Because when we take communion, the Bible tells us that we don't want to take communion like a common thing. That is, there are things, if we're involved in sin, and that we are not in any way thinking of repenting, and we just take communion as any common thing. He says to the Corinthians, that's the reason why many of you are sick. But here's the thing, he gives us the opportunity. He says, oh, spend time with them. Just repent, spend time with the Lord, and we can all take communion together, amen? Because that's what God rather have us do, take communion together with a repentant heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, you're so good to us. Thank you, Lord, that your heart is for your people. Your heart is always a heart of restoration. Lord, heaven awaits. Lord, grow our faith. Sometimes that means difficulties, Lord. Oftentimes that's exactly what it means. But grow our faith that we may be useful in our Master's hands, that we may be sharp instruments, Lord. Use this body in a powerful way. That, Lord, we would not be those that water down God's word or are ashamed of our faith, or, Lord, that we were those, that we would be those that let our light shine bright and mightily in your name, Jesus. And so we thank you. May you bless your people. In your name we pray. Amen.